congressional election is a faraway thing for the rest of America, but Clatsop County residents will vote in about 6 weeks to nominate Democratic and Republican candidates to face off in a general election in January. All this happened because Congressman David Wu resigned his seat in Congress. Over the next weeks, after deadline, we'll feature the leading candidates for the 1st Congressional District. Today we'll talk with Brad Avakian, the Democratic Oregon Labor Commissioner who wants to represent us in Congress. Welcome to After Deadline, Brad.
Very glad to be here, Steve. Thanks.
You're welcome. This special election is not about theoretical issues. Whoever wins this race will jump into a set of choices that we can already see. Mr. Avakian, President Obama has this week sent Congress a jobs bill that contains a number of components. It includes infrastructure investment, some tax cuts, and more spending cuts to pay for all this and more. If you were representing the 1st Congressional District of Oregon, how would you respond to the president's proposal?
Well, there's nothing more important in Northwest Oregon right now than bringing jobs to this part of the state and putting folks to work. You know, we've got 200,000 people in Oregon that are out of work today. And when you look across the nation, it's about 14 million, another 14 million that aren't working full time, so they can't make enough money to make ends meet. So there's no question that jobs is an absolute necessity for us. I think the president took a small step in the right direction. He's going to do something to keep 280,000 teachers employed, something for youth training programs, a little bit to help returning vets. But what it means for Oregon is a little over $400 million, which in infrastructure projects, which equates to about 5,500 jobs, when we've got 200,000 there out of work. So I will support the president in his small step forward, but I'm going to push very hard for us to take some bolder steps and get more people working again.
What would be a bolder step in your mind?
Well, I'm proposing a 21st century WPA program. I've been talking about it for many months. I think we need to massively redirect our attention in this country to rebuilding our bridges and our roads, laying more rail, improving our seaports and our airports. And at the top of the list, we need to build a new electrical grid for the country that can accommodate emerging renewable energy industries. I'm talking about the kind of program that will put millions of people to work on these projects.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Oregon Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, Democratic candidate for the in the election to replace David Wu in Congress. Not that long ago, Congress and the president went down to the wire in approving an increase in the federal debt ceiling. To many Americans, to some Americans at least, that tension was a bit unsettling, and it's clearly unsettled some markets. What do you think was right or wrong with how the debt ceiling negotiations went down?
Yeah, you know, people are angry about what's happening in Congress right now and what's not happening in Congress. I've spent the entire morning in the North Coast here talking to folks, and I hear it from folks that live here too. You know, raising the debt ceiling is a way of just paying for the obligations that we have already incurred. 72 times in recent years, we've passed it as a routine measure in Congress. And all of a sudden now, it gets pushed to the brink of economic collapse for the country, when it didn't need to be. What I would have done is several months before we got to the point of the crisis was separate the debt ceiling issue from the issue about spending and revenue, pass the debt ceiling, which was the responsible thing to do, and then turned our attention to making government do more with less. What Congress did is they put the two together, they pushed it to the brink, and then we ended up with a decrease in our credit rating, which wasn't good for the country.
The phenomenon you're talking about is something that the Portland pollster Tim Hibbetts has talked about. Tim says that House districts have been drawn to isolate the purest concentrations of Democrats and Republican voters. And thus, he says, the liberal and conservative extremes are in the House, but there are few moderates. Where do you fit in that mixture?
Well, I'm a moderate Democrat who wants to get people back to work and provide a great public education system. But I have an additional take on it to Tim. Tim's a smart guy, and I think what he says makes a lot of sense. Part of the reason that the D.C. is not working the way it should is because when the campaigns end in November, nobody turns the light switch off and turns to relationship building and governing again. And that's why we're sitting here with 30 million people out of work and Congress sitting on its hands. They've got to be able to govern the country rather than continually worry about where their next campaign check is going to come from, how to set up their next opponent in the next race. They've got to focus their attention to building relationships with each other and getting to the issues that matter, like putting our people back to work. That's something I was particularly good at our state legislature and the House and Senate as Commissioner of Labor and Industries. And one example is in the last legislative session as Oregon's Commissioner of Labor, I brought together very diverse groups, labor unions and business organizations, the Democrats and the Republicans, and unanimously passed out of our legislature the bill that's going to return shop classes to our middle school and high schools. With enough funding next year to fully restore programs to 10 schools, it's Oregon's first step towards providing the most skilled and most ready workforce that you can find anywhere.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Oregon Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, a Democratic candidate for the election to replace Congressman David Wu in Congress. Mr. Avakian, you mentioned being on the North Coast this morning. I think you were in Cannon Beach. And it's not your first time over here. What do people here tell you beyond sort of the things you might hear anywhere? I mean, what do you hear about local issues? What's your sense of what matters in this district as opposed to Portland, let's say?
Well, the North Coast is a unique place, and that's why I spend as much time as here as I do. I grew up in Northwest Oregon. My wife grew up in Northwest Oregon. We raised our family in Washington County. So I've spent a lot of time on the North Coast. People here are concerned about getting back to work. We have higher unemployment rates along the coast. The coast is so heavily dependent on a tourism industry right now that if the economy chips away at that, it makes it very difficult for North Coast families to make ends meet. And at the same time, we haven't taken care of our traditional industries that supported the North Coast for so long. We don't have mills out here, so people aren't working in the mills anymore. The fishing industry struggles. We need to pay careful attention to our rural communities that are struggling even more in tough economic times than the Portland area.
Now, we do have a mill here. Hampton Affiliates reopened here about a month ago.
Yeah, I know Hampton well. As a matter of fact, my morning this morning started at Hampton and at the high school right next to it. As labor commissioner, I helped put together a program at Hampton where Hampton brings local high school kids and college students into their mill in order to work and learn how to work in a 21st century mill. And folks around the North Coast know your mill of today is not your 1940s Oregon mill. It's all about computers and lasers. It's highly technological. And Hampton really stepped up to the plate to bring young people in and teach them how to do it.
Huh. You mentioned the unemployment rate. Now, Clatsop County's unemployment rate is actually below the state average.
Well, Clatsop County is doing a pretty good job in some areas, better than some other places along the coast. You're right. And if you're down closer to the city, you're fine. The further you get away into the rural parts of the county, the higher the unemployment rate goes.
Back to what's afoot in Congress already, Senator Ron Wyden has a proposal that would give the states a role in siting liquefied natural gas terminals. It's a big issue here in Clatsop County, where as many as two LNG terminals have been proposed. Would you support Senator Wyden's bill?
Well, I think the senator has done a very good job, again, of trying to find a way to bring a solution to what has been a very divisive issue. And I want local communities to be making decisions about things like whether or not an LNG facility goes in. And I'm very familiar with how that issue has gone along the coast and how people feel about it. I like what the senator is doing. At the same time, I have to tell you, we spend an awful lot of time focusing on issues sometimes like this one that are dividing us more than they're bringing us together. I'd love to see us turn to looking at building facilities for solar power and wind power and geothermal and even wave technology in ways that are beneficial to the coast. Those are the kind of projects that can bring us good energy, clean energy, and they're not the kind of things that divide us. They bring us together, and they're going to create a lot more jobs in the long term than we're going to get out of one or two LNG facilities. So I say good for the senator, and at the same time, let's turn our attention to the things we can get done and that bring us together.
There is, of course, a lot of wind power in eastern Oregon and not much over here, of course. And I guess a lot of that wind power in eastern Oregon is the product of a fairly generous subsidy, to put it there.
Oh, it certainly started that way. I mean, the state of Oregon, you know, with their business energy tax credits, you know, tried to attract a lot of renewable energy companies here. The best way for us to create long-term jobs with renewable energy is to get the manufacturing facilities here. And when I was in the state Senate and wrote and passed the Oregon Renewable Energy Act, which has become the most effective renewable energy act in the country, keeping our rates lower than most other places in the country. And soon after that act passed, we saw Solar World expand their facility, 1,200 new manufacturing jobs for Northwest Oregon, and thousands of construction jobs to build the new facility. Those are the kind of long-term, good-paying jobs that we want to get out of this industry, not just setting up the wind turbines.
Where are they located, Solar?
They're located in Washington County near Hillsborough.
Mm, okay. Is there also a wind power related factory in Portland? Maybe I'm making that up.
With the Renewable Energy Act, it wasn't just solar that was attracted to Oregon. Mm-hmm. You also saw companies moving in like Horizon Wind Energy and Vestas that set up headquarters in the state, and they're doing great business and providing some local jobs. I want to keep encouraging them to bring in manufacturing facilities.
Certainly.
So we can be looking at thousands of jobs that right now are in other states that we should be pulling into Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Many of us vote for the Office of State Labor Commissioner, which is your office, but we couldn't say what it does. Tell us about your background as Labor Commissioner and before that, and how that equips you to be a member of Congress.
Now, I appreciate you asking the question. You know, I did grow up in Northwest Oregon. I went to school at Oregon State University and law school at Lewis and Clark. So I had all my schooling here and then became a civil rights lawyer, standing up for working families in this state, side by side, protecting them from discrimination and from unfair treatment on the job. And then after serving in the State House and the Senate, where I worked very hard on some of those same issues, was elected Oregon's Commissioner of Labor and Industries. And as commissioner, it is my primary job to stand up for working people in this state. We have the Civil Rights Division, where I fight to protect people from all forms of discrimination. The Wage and Hour Division, which makes sure that workers are being treated fairly on the job, getting paid the wages that they should be getting paid. And then the Apprenticeship and Training Division, which trains between 5,000 and 10,000 workers each year that are apprentices, learning the skills for a great living wage career. So it's a terrific position where I have a direct hand in supporting Oregon's workforce.
What's the hottest or most controversial issue you've had to handle as labor commissioner? I guess maybe in the last 2 years, you were elected 2 years ago.
Well, I tell you, one of the in the past little used tools by the labor commissioner is something called the commissioner's complaint. And that gives me the ability, if I see an injustice occurring anywhere, to file a complaint on my own on behalf of the people of Oregon and prosecute an employer or a landlord that is discriminating against an individual. And I used that in the case of the Typhoon restaurant chain, which has been in the news of late, because evidence was brought to me that showed that they were treating some employees differently based on their national origin and race. And so I stepped up for those workers, filed the complaint, and we're now in the middle of the prosecution. The other, folks may remember, was the case of John Minnis, who was a high-ranking government official in Oregon. Strong evidence came to me that he had been sexually harassing and abusing an employee.
In what company was that?
Well, no, it wasn't a company.
John, it was when he was in the state house.
It was, yeah. Well, you do remember John Minnis served in the state legislature, and then after that was the director of our state agency that trains police officers.
Oh, and it was there that this happened.
Yeah, that's where it occurred, and I take my role very seriously to protect Oregon's workers. Whether it be in a private company or whether it be by government officials. And in that particular case, we took on the prosecution of John Minnis as a public official.
You gave us your progression of growing up in college, law school. Sorry. Put some years on that so we kind of get a sense of the context of your life. When did you graduate from high school and then college and law school?
Well, I was a 79 high school graduate and graduated from Oregon State University in 1984. I actually took a few years before I went to law school working as a youth counselor, working with emotionally disturbed and juvenile delinquent boys, helping to get their lives on track, helping to get them educated at a great alternative school we had, and teaching them job skills that could make them good, productive members of their communities, and then decided I really wanted to go to law school, be a civil rights lawyer, and stick up for working folks.
Most of us, I think, would hear about something like working with emotionally disturbed boys and say, that sounds pretty forbidding. How did you find it?
You know what? It was a tough job. It's one of those jobs that needs to be done because young people that are having trouble and they don't have a family to turn to, they need a place where they can be that's safe, where they can become educated, learn a skill, and become productive members again. I have to tell you, it's one of the reasons that I decided to work so hard to bring those shop classes back to our middle schools and high schools. You know that 94% of the students in Oregon that take part in a career education class like these shop classes graduate on time in 4 years. And so this not only provides us a good skilled workforce for the state, but it takes care of a lot of kids, keeping them interested in school, too.
Back to the your being a counselor, were there moments in that where you had a sense of despair or that you thought, man, this is hopeless?
Oh, I'm not a hopeless kind of guy.
Okay.
No, it was hard work, and some of these kids were in dire situations. But I have to tell you, helping to mentor them in the right direction to build good, positive relationships, to learn how to keep a job, and make a living and be responsible was a very rewarding thing to do. I loved every second of it.
What school was that?
You know, right out of college, I went to Pear Creek Ranch, which was a residential treatment facility in the Oregon City area.
Oh, is it still there?
It's been there a long time, and it's still there. And after I was done with Pear Creek and went to law school, I helped work my way through law school by creating the juvenile restitution program for the YMCA in the Portland area. And that was a program that took juvenile offenders, taught them job skills, and had them pay part of their earnings from the job they got to the victims of their crimes.
Well, let's talk about your career in the legislature. You first won election to the House. In what year?
2002. So my first session in the House was 2003, and I was there for 2003 and 2005. And
so that was Governor Kitzhaber his first time?
It actually was Governor Kulongoski.
Kulongoski already. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Governor Kulongoski and I came to the Capitol at about the same time back then.
Okay. During that period of time, what was your proudest accomplishment?
Well, you know, between my time in the House and the Senate, I was very fortunate to be able to pass some significant bills for the state. Certainly near the top of the list is the Oregon Renewable Energy Act.
You mentioned that earlier, yeah.
It makes us a national leader in the creation of green jobs, which is something badly needed by the state. Second, I wrote and passed the first expansion to Oregon's bottle bill in nearly 4 decades.
Now, that just passed in this last session.
You know, that was a continuation of my effort in 2007. In addition to, in 2007, adding water bottles, which we know folks on the coast know very well. Mm-hmm. You don't see as many empty plastic water bottles laying around the beaches anymore because of the bill that I passed. I also had set up the task force that could come back to the legislature with new ideas on how to further expand the bottle bill. Mm-hmm. And the result was the effort that you just described. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at more kinds of containers. We're looking at using redemption centers, which will be a cleaner, more cost-effective way to recycle the bottles.
What was your greatest disappointment in the House?
Well, let me tell you one more. I'll answer that for you. Let me tell you one more that I was particularly pleased with. We have a serious problem in the state, or had, with accommodating victims of domestic violence on the job, usually women who were in terrible situations because of an abuser at home or at work, who maybe needed time off in order to take care of their kids, get them to a safe place. So I helped pass the bill and now enforce the bill as labor commissioner that gives domestic violence victims a reasonable amount of time off to deal with the situations that are created by the abuser. The biggest disappointment was the incredible effort I put in on public education issues to fund at a high enough level that we could have enough teachers that we needed to see that every kid in Oregon had a desk to sit in and a book to take home to study. Well, we're not meeting the basic needs of a lot of our school kids. And although I had great successes like returning the shop classes to our public schools, my efforts increased the funding at some critical times. I think we still have a long way to go in meeting the needs of our local schools.
Continuing in our discussion of the legislature, Mr. Avakian, who's your biggest ally, your biggest political ally in Oregon?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I've been very fortunate to have a lot of strong political allies. You know, in 2007, my last year in the Senate, I was named the Consensus Builder of the Year in the legislature. That was by the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. That was the year of the bottle bill expansion, the Renewable Energy Act, a Clean Rivers bill. But in all of those efforts, I brought together the business community, the environmental groups, the labor unions, and in almost every case, the Democrats and the Republicans both, not groups that you always see standing side by side to move an agenda forward. And so I was very fortunate to have allies on both sides of the aisle. And that illustrates itself, too, in the congressional race that I'm in now, where I've got folks like Bill Bradbury, Jack McGowan, that have endorsed me as well as Melissa Cadwalader from Cannon Beach, and Arlene Lemire, your city councilor in Astoria here, as well as historic Republicans like Norma Paulus and Lane Shetterly.
Okay. The first congressional district includes Portland, suburban Washington County, Columbia County, and Clatsop County. In one sense, we're kind of the odd man out there, I suppose. But where does Clatsop County fit in that mix of the first congressional district?
In terms of?
Well, Portland is a city. Washington County is a is a highly densely populated suburb. We're not a city. We're not a suburb. And yet there's a lot of economic activity over here. Where do we – if you're the member of Congress representing that district, it would seem that we're kind of different from the rest of it. And maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, I think you are. I mean, this is a unique community in a lot of ways. You're at you've got some of the most active ports, in the state. So there's a lot of commerce coming back and forth. You've got a terrific fishing industry still. You've got a tourism industry that is just terrific along the North Coast. Everybody wants to come to Astoria and Clatsop County if you're touring the North Coast. And so you have some very unique needs, both with respect to your infrastructure needs because of the ports and because of the weather that you get and the need to rebuild your local, your local community college and schools. And so you really are a very unique and a very valuable community. And like I said earlier, you're home to some of the traditional industries of Oregon. When we talk about getting people back to work in this state, having a mill that functions so that it can take logs that we harvest in Oregon and mill them right here, this is the kind of community where we can do that again. And so it's a unique and a beautiful part of the state and a very important piece of the 1st Congressional District.
I'd like to ask you sort of, I guess I would call it a reality question or a reality check. I was a correspondent in Washington, D.C. for 10 years. Admittedly, that ended in 87, which is a while ago. Nonetheless, I watched congressmen and senators up close. And on one level, it struck me as an awful job in the sense that if you're from the West, Oregon, you spend a lot of your life on an airplane. And you're sort of permanently jet-lagged, or at least almost permanently jet-lagged. Being in Congress tends to ruin personal relationships, high level of divorce and that sort of thing. This is sort of my why do you want this job? And I know you want to do things, but – or I guess it's my do you really know what this job is? Has anyone really given you the hard truth of the physical reality of being a member of Congress?
Oh, I've been around the block a few times in Oregon politics. I know exactly, what the job entails and I agree with you. It's not an easy job, especially if you've got a family. My kids are at college now. It's the perfect time for my family. But I tell you, when we saw the struggles at the end of the last congressman's term, the difficulties he was having, I knew Oregon needed a strong leader. And nobody said that being a strong leader and doing a job that's tough to do is easy. The truth is I'm willing to do it for the people of Northwest Oregon. I'll go back to D.C. I'll lend a hand to what I know is a situation back there that makes people very angry because it doesn't look like Congress is doing anything. But I've got the record of accomplishment here, rolling up my sleeves and getting the work done that's going to allow me to be very effective in D.C. for folks. So, sure, Steve, I know it's not going to be an easy thing to do, but I'm willing to put in the work to get the job done.
Our guest today has been Oregon Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, Democratic candidate for the Congress to succeed David Wu. Thanks for being with us.
Very glad to be here. Thanks, Steve.